हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 18, Character of One in Ecstatic Love, page 26. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here the author elaborates on the reason why it is not real rati. How is it possible for rati to appear where there are desires for material enjoyment or liberation? There is a fault in their sadhana. They do not perform pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means that it should not be mixed with jnana, karma, or other unacceptable elements. Right? So that's the whole idea is... Pure bhakti means you're not mixing it with anything else. So you're not maintaining material desires. You're not maintaining some kind of strange philosophy to support that material desires. Like that. Yes, yeah, so therefore the so-called, symptoms of ecstasy that we might find in impersonalists and sahajiyas and that might be manifesting, it's not due to pure bhakti. It might be by association, by reflection. It might be that there's a moment here and there, just like we were saying, the devotee in practice. Then there's going to be moments where he has a taste for Krishna consciousness or has an attachment or is fixed in devotional service. So these things, they will come up, but they're not steady, so we don't call it by that name. When they become steady, then that name is given. Does that make sense? 1:3:44-45. Though this semblance of rati is very astounding to the innocent, those in knowledge understand what it really is by seeing the characteristics. This is called ratyabhash, a semblance of rati. This semblance of rati has two types, reflection, pratibimba, and splendor, chaya. 1:3:46. Pratibimba or reflection is described as follows. When there are apparent qualities of rati, accompanied by desires for enjoyment and liberation, it is called pratibimba, reflection, ratyabhash. This pratibimba, ratyabhash, towards the goals of enjoyment and liberation to those persons without their having to exert effort. Ratyabhash awards the goals of enjoyment and liberation to those without their having to exert effort. Right? So though gain means that someone has that you might see, but it's a reflection because they have the material desire and the rati itself, the ratyabhash, because it's in line, being brought in line with, then it will fulfill their material desires. But it doesn't mean that you won't move forward in spiritual life like that. That you have to have an interest in that aspect, right? Jiva Goswami. Rati without motivations for material enjoyment or liberation yields the main form of rati, whereas having attachment produces a semblance of rati, right? So it will produce the attachments to the karma and jnana, right? Because you have them, so that by the power of that you'll get it. This semblance arises through secondary conditions. According to the conditions, there are two types of semblance. The first type is described here. The qualities of rati appear, rati, lakshana, lakshitaha, in the form of a few tears or other symptoms. Though this seems to indicate a touch of rati, when the symptoms appear along with desires for enjoyment or liberation, is called pratibimba. The type of rati for the Lord which is contaminated by desires for enjoyment or liberation is called pratibimba ratyabhash. This pratibimba towards liberation without extreme efforts this pratibimba awards liberation without extreme efforts because of two qualities existing in the Lord. His power to bestow material enjoyment and his power to bestow liberation. this is the extraordinary power of Pratibimba Ratyabhas, right? So they'll progress materially, so they'll do all right. Does that make sense? But as it says, it won't produce rati, and therefore it won't produce prem. Right? Rati without motivations for material enjoyment or liberation yields the main form of rati. Right? So it means that attraction to the Lord with the idea of attaining to pure devotion. Right? To prema. Right? While this other is that they may be making a show of it, and from that then they will move forward in their karma and jnana. Yes.
I think here one point is mentioned about also why is it called reflection? Because they come into contact with the devotees and reflect that qualities momentarily.
Yes. Because they're reading about the Goswamis and this and that, and then they're reflecting those kind of qualities that they're seeing there. But because it's simultaneously with material desire, then it will only award material desire. Right? So this would be different from someone who's sincerely practicing. There may be moments, like we said, of very nice attractions for Krishna and like that. But because also there's material desire, but not simultaneous. You understand there's a difference. Let's say you're absorbed in the kirtan. You're not thinking about material desires. You're actually thinking about the holy name and like that. So the taste gotten there, that's actually transcendental. But because of our material desires, then it'll come back down to whatever is our level after the kirtan. You understand? But we're talking about those who have this and at the same time have material desire. That's just going to give them the material desire. Right? So that's why it says in the Bhagavatam, whether you have all material desires, no material desires, or only about transcendence, that the devotional process is the easiest and quickest process to attain whatever you want. Yeah. But the point is that since you're performing the activity anyway, why you wouldn't go for prema? Why you would perform the activities that could give prema but only get material benefits? So
also with the analogy, when we say the reflection, it's not real. You cannot do anything with it. But the other aspect we say as we are devotees, that is the second part, splendor or chaya. Chaya, the shadow, though it's a shadow, it's still real. And you can do something, may not be very minute.
Nice. That makes sense?
No.
Means that when it's a reflection, you can't do something with the reflection. So the devotees are there, and you're reflecting their qualities, you know, the experience and that is there, but because there's material desire at the same time, then it will just award the material desires. Right? But he's saying the next one to be described is chaya, or shadow. Shadow is actually has some substance, but it's not complete. Like that. And so that will be then what he's saying here is what we may experience, you know, at moments in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? It's the shadow of this.
Yes. And we're saying that the main distinction between chaya and
Pratibimba. Okay.
Pratibimba is that one is motivated by bhakti,
yes,
itself, and one is by karma and jnana.
Yes. It's just like, let's say you have the sahajya, and they have their kirtans. It's a performance.
Yeah.
You know, it's a performance. So they're manifesting these symptoms, but at the same time is they're really expecting that people are going to appreciate this, and they're going to be paid well. You know? So it's simultaneous that these are going on. They want to be recognized for what they're doing. Right? But it's not that these symptoms can't come up. You know, it's saying in the devotee. But the point is they're not constant. You know, so Lord Chaitanya is praying, when will tears constantly be flowing from my eyes, not just occasionally? Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Rati Lakshana Lakshitaha means the person has the symptoms of Rati. From the presence of one or two symptoms, such as tears, the condition has the appearance of bhava, but is actually Ratyabhash, a resemblance to Rati. That's why you see the acharyas aren't so interested.
Mm.
Like that. Like once before, what was his name? Well, don't remember his name. He was, in his day, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, kirtanier. You know, especially in the Calcutta and these, you know, bigger scenes than Bengal. And, not Manatoshroy, that's the other guy. Yeah. So, he was very famous, and he was around at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he must have been quite young then, because I think in the 80s I saw him in a performance in Calcutta. So he had heard about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and what he was doing. He wanted to come and do kirtan for him. But, you know, it's like he said, they have the show. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said no. He says, we're not interested, you know. And, you know, because it's just a show. He says, actually, I have two performances. One is with the show for the audience, and the other is just, we just do kirtan. he was a Leela kirtan person. You know, they do the kirtan and the story, and they go back and forth between, it's kind of like, you could probably say, the origin of rap, right? You know, so you have the music, and then they have the talking and that, but it was more dramatic and all that. You know, so the consciousness is a bit higher, right? You know? You're not off the street. You're in the kunjas.
Maybe that's where they end. If they do it for their own publicity and fame, then they...
Yeah, then they end up over there. Could be. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's where they end up. I always thought they ended up as hippies. But, yeah, nowadays it'd be harder. Yeah, once there was Sahotramar showed me this picture at one of the Sahajya Melas. The bowels, you know, you have the owls, bowels... Whatever, there's a bunch of, you know, for the four varnas, I mean four ashrams. So they were doing, you know, some groups up on the stage, and they always have long hair, but generally they tie it, right? You know, because, you know, they're sadhus, so they tie it up and all that, and they have robes, and they have, you know, beads around their necks, and, you know, like that. So, you know, they look like the sadhus, but then they got up there, and they have these little instruments, so like a... They're kind of, it's generally a wooden thing, but it's like a can where they have a skin at one end, and then connected to that is a string that goes up, and then there's two on top of the can. There's two arms that connect together, and then it goes there. It's called an ektara. It plays one note. You can tune it, but it plays a note because of the skin. It resonates. You know, so generally it's wood, but you can make it out of anything. And so that's one of their main instruments that they play. You can play it with one hand and stuff like this. And so in this picture, they were on the stage, so they must have been a really happening, you know, group. That, you know, the picture was taken of them. They're there, and by this time in the kirtan, you know, their hair is loose and flying around, and that, and hair swine, they got their head back like that, or someone was kind of leaned over forward and he had his ektar in both hands and he was playing it down like that. And it's just like, you know, what was the difference between that and what was going on in San Francisco? You know? It looked exactly the same. So, you know where the next birth is, you know? Because they don't do anything, they just know music, right? You know, just they get together in the garage and it happens. Well, because they were. Right. And then when Prabhupada comes to the Avalon ballrooms, then they can relate to it. They get up. When Prabhupada started the kirtan, the musicians all came up on the stage and played their instruments. Right? So they could relate. It was really part of the scene. You know? Yeah. So like that. So you're saying more in the contemporary, there's no hippies, so now they become rap. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So his story was Bhaktisiddhanta
Saraswati,
how did it end it?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. A story, yeah. So then he did perform for him, but then one just straight. Just, you know, the proper kirtan, proper everything, not all the embellishments like that. And he appreciated.
Wow.
Yeah, like that. He was really good. Really good. He'd have two pure white tamburas. And on the top, you know, sliding in were small like deities of Gorni Thai. You know, all in white and like that. And it was he had a show. He had a show.
Yeah. Maharaj, can you say that for making a real reflection, we need to know the original?
Yes, you have to know the original. You have to associate with the original. That's the whole thing. Is that for us? That's why it's so important, the parampara and the acharyas and all that. Because the point is you're going to have to throw your lot in with somebody.
Yes.
So why not with them?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if it's about someone else, yeah, and then you'll get the benefit that these others get. So if you perform devotional service with these other desires like that, you'll get that. You want materials, you want to be, let's say, you want to be a professional, by the Ratyabha, you'll become a professional. You won't become advanced in devotional service, you'll come into professional. You want money, you'll get that. If you want these other things instead, if it's just, it's there in the background, and that, then it'll either come up or go away. The point is, it'll go away,
mm-hmm.
the material desires. And if it's useful to have, you'll get, and if it's not useful, you won't. But if you actually really want those, and that, then that's the main thing, and you're pushing for that and trying to make that as devotional service, then you'll get that. That's the whole thing. Ratyabhasha will give you all that. But you won't get prema. But so you won't actually get the main symptoms of bhava. So that's why one always has to be careful of the mixed and keeping good association. So immediately we can see that weakness if we're thinking that the acharyas and that aren't really in touch with the material, with the reality in the material world, so they can't actually give good guidance. Then that means who are we going to then associate with? Yes. So then that's the difficulty. Then we won't move that direction. Hence it says it takes many, 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 many lifetimes. Because the tendency is you know, that desire for freedom from you know, because fear, when it says that the living in fearfulness means we're afraid of our relationship with the Lord. We don't want that. We don't want to be controlled by someone else. We're looking for the ultimate how to be independent. So if you can't get it in karma, you'll go for gyan. Right? In a sense, you know, we have a tendency to say that karma is not so great,
yeah.
But if we talk gyan,
yeah.
People generally don't think that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, just by nature. Yeah. You know? So then that's the problem, is that they don't get either.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's the problem. You had something?
I was thinking, is it true that those who are coming from Gyan into Bhakti Mark end up in neutral rasa with Krishna? Like in Shanta, not going higher than that?
They can go, but it doesn't mean that... It's very natural for them to be in that rasa, but it doesn't mean that that's what it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sanatan Goswami, he was a scholar. Right? It means for him, he spoke so many different languages, and that was fluently,
mm-hmm.
yes.
and Sanskrit included. And so then, when he had those discussions with the Brahmins at his house, when he decided he was taking sick leave, like that, he had 30 Brahmins, because amongst 30, then somebody's going to have something to say. So it wasn't like one Brahmin. It took 30 Brahmins to like kind of be comparable to his. So. He's the scholar, and he says people call him a scholar. But at the same time, he doesn't actually know who he is.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't know how he's the soul, how, you know, who he actually is. But it's not that one can't take up. That's the point, is anybody from any position can come to whatever position in the spiritual realm. But you do see that these great sages, they have an affinity for that. That's what they're doing. That's their position. That's what they like. Like the four Kumaras. They're scholars, and they like that position. So then they're generally noted as scholars. While the ones who go above that may or may not be noted as scholars. Like this, of the six Goswamis, even though they're all scholars, we only think of Jiva Goswami as a scholar.
Yeah.
Like that. Because he's presented that way. You know, because, you know, by having that scholarly thing, then people will look at that and analyze and stuff like that. Like you said, the Ravindrasrupa is saying that the, you know, some of the scholars in Boston, you know, in the modern academy, then they study Jiva Goswami because it's so technically perfect. Like that. Of course, they speculate like anything. You know, like that. So, yeah, yes.
Since one Indian devotee attended our programs and in kirtans, he usually danced and very emotionally and cried about Krishna and so on. But outside of the temple, he smoked and drank of all in other.
Yeah, this is what it's talking about. This is exactly what it's talking about. Like that. So, you know, materially they'll do nice. And by associating with devotees and this and that, they'll make some advancement. You know, they take some prasad. There's moments when they're not behaving badly. Like that. But that's exactly what it's talking about. So, like that in India, especially in Bengal, there's I don't know. Yeah, you could say millions of them. So that's why for us in the West it may not be so relevant, we're wondering, but in Bengal this is like, you know, this is the way it is. You know? So it's like you go out to the villages and all that, and that's what you got happening out there. So that, you know, on our Namhattas, that's a very major thing that you're getting them to function within ISKCON and give up that. It's a very, very major element. Otherwise, they got everywhere.
And we were very confused what to do with him, because we knew that he was a gay also. And we thought, should we allow him to attend temple or not, because he can do something?
No, it just depends. It's just, you know, how you say, keep everything in an open area. You know what I'm saying? Is we're not worried if someone's gay as long as they're not doing the gayness, you know, when the program's going on. Right? Just like if someone's not gay, you don't want them hanging out and doing stuff. That's what I noticed when I go to Poland. You go to back in the 90s, you go to the program there. And you know, they're, I think it's like majority of them are Catholic, like that. And so, but at the same time, is that whenever the Maharaj would ask, talk about reincarnation and ask about, you know, who believes in this, like 60% of the people would raise their hands. So they're kind of a unique, kind of interesting group. They would all get into the kirtans there. They're all there, absorbed and everything like that. It was really far out. Really, really absorbed. Then we went down to Hungary for some programs there. Like, just after that, I think we drove down because I think Maharaj was having, they did, I think it was one of his first or second tour of Hungary. They did like 3 weeks and everything. And I noticed that in the front you have a bunch of people that are absorbed, but at the back you have all these, you know, people that are there, and the girl is focused on the program and the guy is focused on her ear. You know, so is somehow or another it's, yeah. So as long as that's not going on, we're cool. So we don't care what they are, as long as they take part in the process. And, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. And nowadays you do have to use what, because it's, you know. I think that before, remember we used to joke, 56 comment, now it's up to 80 something. Yeah. The options. Right, they just put a plus at the end. Right. So it's like, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter. Point is the living entity can take part in the devotional process as long as they take part. But if they're going to mix it with something else, then do that on their own time. Yeah. If this Ratya Bhash has desires for the happiness, material enjoyment, or liberation, then it is called Pratibimba Ratya Bhash. This condition easily bestows the desired goals of liberation without having to control the senses and mind, and without other practices necessary to achieve liberation. Awarding those goals of enjoyment and liberation without the sadhaka's exertion shows the powers of Pratibimba Ratya Bhash. Right? So we're talking about devotional service is the most powerful. So we're saying, oh no, but there's other processes, that's how they're doing like this. Even bogus Krishna consciousness gives better results than the materialist. Right? You know? So imagine what the good results do. Right, yeah. One thing, you know, yeah. That doesn't mean we should preach bogus. But you'll see is that it means it's less like you see. Kirtan is popular in the yoga circuit, and it has zero to do with us. We're not the ones who introduced it. It's the ones who we're talking about here, the sahajiyas and the impersonal. They've introduced it. And it's a big thing. So now we can go there and do that. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the hippies came up, so then we had something to do there. Now, because the yoga studios, that come up, now we can do. Otherwise, before, people don't want to do kirtan. I'd been to a yoga studio program that someone had started 6 weeks before. You couldn't mention about chanting and devotees, nothing, because, you know, we don't want to scare them off. Right? Like that. So, but here is that you can just go as we do kirtan. And the kirtan they're doing is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Right? So a lot of times devotees, you know, do Ganesh kirtan or Shiva kirtan. You don't want them to know because, right, every karmi in the yoga studio knows Sanskrit, knows exactly, and knows Hare Krishna. Then that comes from here, and that's from the Veda like this, and so it's Rama Rama, and then Krishna Krishna, but you guys are turning around, so you must be Gaudiyas, and so that must mean then you're, you know, either Gaudiya Math or Hare Krishnas, and the Gaudiyas are in India, and the Hare Krishnas in the West, so you're Hare Krishnas. Right? That's everybody in the yoga studio can go through that logical sequence, right? That's why you have to do a Ganesh kirtan, right? Yeah, no. But people come in, Hare Krishna, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, and they'll do it for hours, and they're fine. So, we're not doing it. Krishna arranges it. Now we can take part and do some preaching. Yeah. 1.3.47.48. The reflection of the moon of Bhava appears in the hearts of some persons who are attached to enjoyment or liberation, but who become somewhat satisfied by following the Agnes of Bhakti through association, occasional association with real devotees. Like, you know, like Matthew was saying, this person comes and probably likes coming and doing something with the devotees now and again. Not all the time. You don't want to be fanatic. through occasional association, right? That, this is, remember, this is written 500 years ago. Right? So these principles are always going on. We always think, oh, but it's so different now. It's exactly the same. Right, you know. That moon of Bhava is situated in the sky of the real devotee's heart, and it appears as a reflection in the non-devotee for some time by its impressions. Srila Jiva Goswami. The process by which Pratibimba appears is described in this verse. Those who are attached to enjoyment and liberation through occasional rather than constant association with devotees, daivat, imitate devotional activities such as chanting, but with their own goals in mind, and they achieve a general tranquility of mind. Right? That's why people like. Yes. That's why the yoga studios yes. like us to come by, because yes. it gives a tranquility of mind.
Yes.
But their hearts are still contaminated by those desires, right? Meaning they're prominent. We're not talking about the sadhakas who are regularly associating, because there, yes, they're there, but it's not the prominent.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in the background, they're still there. But these, it's their goals and their determination is still about material desire. But their hearts are still contaminated with those desires, since they have not realized the fault of such desires. Right? They think they're fine, right? You know, so you're doing your karma yagan, add some bhakti, hey, it's good, right? The devotee's heart is like the sky, which is untouched by other objects, and is thus suitable for the rising of the moon of prema. The reflection of that moon situated in the devotee's heart, not the moon itself, appears within the heart of such contaminated persons. A reflection appears because of the impositions, upadi, because of other desires, right? Because that was the thing to one of the discussions in the Tattvasandarbha is that if you're going to say the Brahman is reflected off Maya, then you're going to get the Jiva, or then you're going to get Ishwara. But the point is then what's this reflection? Because there has to be substance for there to be reflection. And if you're saying there's no substance other than Brahman, you can't reflect substance onto a non-entity. You know, or if you say Brahman has no qualities, you can't get a reflection. Either way, right? So here is that the reflection is their strong material desire. It reflects off of that. But it doesn't mean that they can't move forward nicely. It's not. Okay. No, I'm just saying he fell from up there.
Yes.
So, yes. So, for the devotee, then he's trying to clear the mind. Right? So there's like the sky, then the moon rises, there's no obstacles, there's no clouds or anything else. Right? So many sense. So for the others, there's so many things cluttering that, then you just get a reflection. Right? Thus, that reflection is not exactly the same as the original, since it takes support from only a few qualities of the original Rati, and is a blurred image possessing contamination of other desires. A desire for pure bhava, on the other hand, produces a complete and pure reflection. Because the aspirant takes support of a host of wonderful qualities of bhava and makes efforts for the correct goal. When that person with other desires becomes separated from the devotee, will that reflection disappear? No. By the impressions it leaves in the heart, the reflection of bhava remains there for some time. So even they leave and they have their material desires, that impression of that time with the devotees will remain. Right? So that's why you'll see they'll come back around. But you also see us here, is even for ourselves, we come in contact with Krishna consciousness. When we first come, all we have is material desire. But then by this process of this pratibimba ratyavas, then we start to see the effect. We see that peacefulness and that. And so then if that's what's looking for, there's answers, there's these things, then you start to associate more. The impression gets greater. And so when that comes to the point, matures to the point of greater volume, where that interest in the Krishna consciousness is greater than the material desire, then you get Shraddha, faith. Right? So that's why you don't want to cultivate material desire, because if it becomes more prominent, then the faith goes down.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Srila Rupa Goswami gives very exact definition.
Yes.
Of pure devotional service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we also define whatever is in pursuance of pure devotional service. We also say it's pure devotional service, although obviously there's a mixture of karma and jnana.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
So how can we reconcile those two?
It's just a matter of what your effort is. It's just like, let's say someone is practicing music to seriously become good at music.
Yeah.
Technically, you can call them a musician, though they're, factually not really a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's their field, that's their determination. While if someone else is doing the same practice, but that's not their interest, we'll just say it's a hobby. We won't call them a musician. We can say they may know some music. They can play a few tunes. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's sitting around the campfire, you know, they can do something. But you won't say they're a musician. Right? So, that's the whole idea, is that if our focus is on developing pure devotional service, even though we don't have that, then it takes on those qualities. It moves forward very quickly. Well, if that's an interest, yeah, ultimately we want to get there, but we're distracted by our material desires, then it'll be slower. And if you see, is like what we're describing here, this earlier, is that the material desires are their interest, but, you know, how you say, they sometimes get to be a bit much in that, the material world, so a little relief by coming in contact with the devotees, a little kirtan, a little like that, then they consider that quite nice, quite good. So it's just an addition too. It's just like for many, you know, like that it's not that yoga is their life, it's an addition to their life. At this program, and the MC of the program, then we're sitting in, at a break, we're sitting and talking. And because he was interested. You know, normally they just say, hi, how are you, and this and that, and that's it, right? You know, and then move on. And so, but he was interested. And then we sat down and talked, because he's a professional, you know, really, you know, into the corporate scene. You know, it must have been doing quite well. But at the same time, then he just burned out. You know, it's just it's so overwhelming. And so then he did somehow or another he came in contact with some Buddhism, did some meditation and like that. And so now every morning he gets up, you know, the phone's off. He won't turn it on until I think, you know, 9 o'clock. He'll do his meditation, you know, just like that. He'll just have his own life. And then at 9 he turns on and then back to the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's like that. And then from that, then, you know, how, at least how we dress, you know, the traditional dress, it looks, the only thing that is compared to is Buddhism, because they're the only ones that are out dressed like this. The Hare Krishnas aren't dressed like this anymore in the street, right? You know, nowadays if you see someone in cargo shorts and a t-shirt, then you go, oh, Hare Krishna. Like that. Because no one else is wearing that, right? You know, so. Yeah. Though I did notice it starting to come back in fashion. I did see a few people wearing it. Or there's a lot of devotees around that I didn't know about. Yeah. So because of that, then he was interested to talk, and we get into it, and he's discussing about philosophy. Okay, what are you guys into? Because he thought we were Buddhist, and then he finds out we're not. He wants to know what's going on, and you explain things and all that, and it's, you know, it's far out for him because you're talking about soul, and Buddhist is no soul, you know, and things like that. But the thing is that even though he's so committed to the meditation, he's still in the corporate world. He still has all that desires and everything like that. He's just willing to make more of a balance of it. You understand? So he's added this kind of spiritual element, but to balance his material drive. Not that the meditation is the main thing, and then he has to maintain himself. Right? You know, otherwise he would have been dressed differently. You know, he was in the proper suit, everything, you know, fitting, you know, the, you know, up to date. So it's just, that's the thing, is that the, you'll see in the world many, they just add it into their life. You know, even in the modern context, the European context, you go to church, you know, or your place of worship once a week for most persons. And that's religious ones. You know, most it's only now and again, you know, for something like Christmas Mass or something like that, or Easter or something, if they're in that line. And for most, they don't even bother at all. You ask them, oh, no, then we're from this or that. Or they don't practice. So it's just something that's there that if something goes wrong at that moment, they'll fall back on it. But as soon as then they're feeling okay, then they don't. So that's the position that we're starting from here. So some are sincere. So even though they're starting with this ratibhas here, you know, this, but at the same time, is they'll move forward. If they're sincere, then they'll move forward into devotional service, into the practice of pure devotional service. So it's just a matter of they're starting where they are, and they're moving forward on the progression to prema. And the others, it's just something that's adding some quality, good quality, you know, quality, you know, to their life, you know, whenever they kind of feel the need for it. And so then it's there. So, and many lifetimes of that, and then eventually they'll come to the point to actually want to know what's going on. So that's why you see there'd be those people who have been coming around for 20 years, and then, you know, they like the devotees, they like everything. They don't have problem with anything, the philosophy or this and that, but they're just into what they do. Yeah, and are moving forward. And then you have those that they just come in contact, and basically, you know, within a very short time, they just become devotees. So it just means they've already done all that stuff. You know, we're talking about being professionals. No, the ones that they were, now they wanted to go beyond. So, does that make sense? Yeah. So it's the same thing. A lot of times, because we're talking, it's always mentality. In this, sometimes you see it's applied to the sadhaka, and but generally it's applied to, you know, who's not a sadhaka. You know, it's just the mayavadis and the sahajiyas and like that. But the same principles working with them is that they're associating more advanced, and they're reflecting that until such time as it gets to what will come up will be about the chaya. So the principle still works. So if you have the material desire, then it'll still move forward, and you see material facilities are there. It's just like now today, you can go from your house, you know, out onto the main road to the shops there, or even inside the neighborhood, and you could buy stuff that previously you couldn't even buy in Calcutta. Right? So, let me... Yeah, get it online. And they bring it to your door, right? Yeah. Okay, that's even better. Yeah. Yeah, you have to go to the... Yeah, that's right. We just picked up some stuff. You have to go down to the store. Yeah, yeah. Well, you go to the small ones, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, saying so means material facilities are being taken care of. Because otherwise, I remember the first meals were fat rice, dal, and a drum, you know, drumsticks, sojandatta, a sabji made of that. Only.
Just that?
Just that. No, I can't say just that. There was plenty of chili. That would be wrong for me to say it was just sojandatta. You know, they put salt, they put turmeric, they put chili. That was it. Means literally, and that was when it was in season. Otherwise, then that would have been potatoes. You know, so yeah, the sojandatta was a change, like you were talking about before. That variety, right? So it's just these things come in; they change. Right?
Can we say also that for a devotee, we stop to be sincere; we can go back.
It means you go back, meaning it'll become covered. So it'll be as good as going back. If you don't commit the mad elephant offense, then it'll just become covered. And so that means that's why you see then if you come in contact, then immediately it comes up again.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So like that. But if there's the mad elephant offense, then you can reduce it back down to nothing. Like we see the story of, what is it, Ramachandra Khan, no?
Yes.
Like that. So, because he offended that devotee in Vrindavan, though he was like, you know, considered one of the senior leader amongst the devotees at Radhakund. But because of this offense, then he lost his taste in that and just went back to being a mundaner, went back to his village in Bengal somewhere. You know, or that, yeah, like that. That other one, he was also Ramachandra.
Ramachandra Puri.
There's Ramachandra Puri, but then there's also, isn't there... There was another, because there's the one in Vrindavan who went back to Bengal. There was the one that when Nityananda Prabhu came, what was his name?
He's
also Ramachandra. No, but there's another one in Vrindavan. Somehow or another, it's just the, yeah, they're all three that name. I think both of them were, they may have been Khan, but, or maybe one was Khan once, and then the other was, I'm not sure. But then we also have Ramachandra Kaviraj, which is very close with, with Narottam Das Thakur.
Yeah.
So it's not that there's a problem with the name. Just so that yeah. So then they'll just come forward. They'll just come up. So you have to be careful. That's why Lord Chaitanya is saying be careful about committing offenses, especially the first offense, because then you can destroy the creeper. But otherwise, it's just weeds come up. So it's just when there's so many weeds, you can't see the garden. And so the plant doesn't grow. Yeah, so then you take out the weeds, you know, by association, and then the plant starts to grow again. So, good. Yeah. 1349. The splendorous type of semblance of bhava is now described. Right, so the ratyabhas means it's a semblance. Right, so the pratibimba is the reflection that we've just discussed, and then the other form is the chaya, which is the shadow. Right, or here he says splendorous. That which has some similarity to real rati, which possesses a small amount of interest in the Lord, which is unstable, and which destroys suffering, is called chaya ratyabhas. Right, because the other one gives material desire, it doesn't destroy suffering. I mean, there'll be a little bit of sense of peace, but here it's destroying suffering because it's removing the cause of suffering, which is karma and jnana. Right? Srila Prabhupada. This imitative attachment can be divided into two headings, namely shadow attachment and para, transcendental attachment. If someone, without undergoing the regulative principles of devotional service, or without being guided by a bona fide spiritual master, shows such imitative attachment, this is called shadow attachment. Sometimes it is found that a person actually attached to material enjoyment or salvation has the good fortune to associate with pure devotees while they are engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. By the good grace of the Lord, one may also cooperate and join in the chanting. At that time, simply by the association of such pure devotees, the moon-like rays from their hearts reflect on him. By the influence of the pure devotees, he may show some likeness of attachment because of inquisitiveness. But this is very flickering. And if by the manifestation of such shadow attachment one feels the disappearance of all material pangs, then it's called para attachment. Mm-hmm. So you just see how, you see in here, because you were wondering about this flow. So we see here is Prabhupada's explaining that. Because the thing is we have this tendency is that it has to be this, or it's this, or it's this. The point is it flows from the one to the other. So you're starting from the pratibimba, that can turn into the shadow, which then turns into para.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. So it naturally has that. Yes. So it's just a matter of where it is. If that the material desires are maintaining and they're doing, then that means it's the reflection. But if you see as the material desires are slowly starting to go down, and they have less interest in the material world, less disturbed by the material world, then that's chaya. Then that's the shadow. And by following that, because the thing is you're following the example of the great personality. So that can't be bad. Mm-hmm. Right? It means if you're doing in the way in the same kind of that general attitude. So then it's not bad. You know, just like in Manu it says that you have the activities and restrictions that may be there for Brahmins as far as their personal life goes. You know, being good, being clean, being truthful, all these things. That if they will follow that, they need to follow that. The others may or may not follow that. But it says if others follow it, it's always good for them. Mm-hmm. Right? So even if a Shudra follows these kind of things, it's good for them.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? It'd be just like, let's say, if we have the Brahmin. So he's going to follow this sadhana very nicely. But then you think of, let's say you have a Shudra, he may or may not follow nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to complain. It's not, he can't drop from being a Shudra. Right? You know, so, therefore, but if you see as he tries to follow some sadhana, be regular in his sadhana, that's to his glory. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it moves forward. So the appreciation. So it's always a benefit to imitate. So this imitative attachment. So we're taking that up. So in the beginning, one's just coming and doing one's own thing. I think it was just like, there was one example, I think it was at 22nd Avenue. Someone came in and started dancing, but it was very kind of sensual and bothering everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if he didn't bother anybody, he probably had left it alone. But if he started to bother then they have to tell him to calm down a bit. You know, because he'd make it so much about himself, totally about himself and his feeling, what he's getting, and his expression, and like that. So then you have to tell him to calm down, because it's not imitative anymore. There's some reflective aspect, but it's not imitative, because he's not doing what they do. Like, you see a lot of times people will come to the temple, and they don't know what's going on, but then all the devotees bow down, they don't know what to do, they bow down also. Like that. You know? So that's then the imitator, right? They're just doing, right? They're not the guy that stands there and everyone else is bowing down. I'm not. I'm cool, right? You know, yeah. Does that make sense? So we see it's a natural. So it's just a matter of these are the places. One is maintaining material desire and it's cultivating material desire. Though it will create some peacefulness and it'll create some lasting impression, right? This other one, then, it has the same unstableness in that. It still may have the material desire, but the focus is not as much on the material desire, but it will start destroying suffering that's coming from material desire.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's not. It's just creating some peacefulness. Mm-hmm. It's not actually getting rid of the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we see is that there's a slight difference. So it's a natural progression. So the point is be as far along as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. And then that turns into actual attachment, para attachment. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here the word chaya means beauty or splendor. The Amar Kosh, Nanarta Varga, gives symptoms. Chaya, Surya, Priya, Kanti, Pratibimbam, Anatapa. Chaya means the wife of the sun, splendor, reflection, and shade. Right? So that's why you can also use it, because it's coming from the other. Because the shadow is actually the reflection in the negative. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's why also you have splendor, as I mentioned. You try, like at noon, high noon, especially in the middle of the summer, lean over a body of water. And you'll see the shadow will be there, but around the shadow there'll be brightness. It'll be brighter right around the shadow than next to that. So as mentioned, the shastras, that's what we're attracted to in the material world. It's not the shadow itself. It's that brightness that's around the edge of the shadow that we notice the shadow. Right? Does that make sense? Like when you have the shadow just on the ground, it's not very attractive because it doesn't have that.
Yes.
You know? Yes. But if it's the sun's very bright, then you'll see is somehow or another between the dark and the light, the eyes go funny and that line becomes more bright. That becomes attractive. So that's what is attractive in the material world. Like this. So you can see it's naturally, you can use it in that line. Because you say, no, but the other one's reflection. Yes, but that means it's just reflection. Here it has the reflection and it's, you know, has the quality, it's moving into the shade aspect is coming in. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's more substance there.
Yes.
Here it also means reflections or resemblance to beauty. This verse describes this chaya ratya bhas, taking into account the meaning of chaya as resemblance to beauty in combination with the word abhasa. Little interest, kshudra, kautu, hala, means though the Lord and bhakti are spiritual, the person has interest in them only as material objects. Because there is curiosity relating to the Lord, even though material, there is an appearance of a little splendor, kanti. Right? So it's just that the person, he comes because of the difficulties, right? Because of either anxieties or money or facilities like this, or interest, knowledge. And so they come in contact by something, and then there's a little bit of interest like this, and so then there's a little bit of the rati, kanti, the splendor. That is the meaning of chaya here, right? So it doesn't mean the wife of the sun, right? Because his wife is called chaya, right? Like that. Because the light, slight attraction to the Lord, there will be slight symptoms similar to those of real rati. However, because of its nature as chaya, it is also unsteady, chanchala. Unlike the pratibimba ratyabhas, in pratibimba ratyabhas, the attraction to material enjoyment and liberation is very strong. But in chaya ratyabhas, the material curiosity about the Lord is transient. Still, because of the influence of the Lord in chaya ratyabhasa, there is a gradual destruction of the suffering of material existence. I see. So one is it's just, it's nice, but it's not so much that there's a real serious interest. You know, that's why you see is it's only, you know, like on Janmashtami, you can expect that there'll be a very good crowd at the temple. Like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the pratibimba. You know, it's basically the material, and then this, you know, it does come up because it's kind of what they used to do before they went to wherever it was they are, you know, like that. But this chaya, then there's that interest, but that aspect of seeing it materially, there's that interest in the Lord, though it's material, but that's also transient, that'll go. And then it'll start turning into actual. So, you know, so as the pratibhima is getting, it turns more into chaya. What's there is that there's the more para, right? So as the touch of pure devotional service is there, that becomes more prominent. Then it takes on those qualities. So it's pure devotional service that's making it work, right? That's what's being reflected, right? That's the moon we're talking about. One should not say, quote, this type does not fit within the general category of ratyabhas because it lacks desire for enjoyment and liberation, end quote. It is classed as ratyabhas because material curiosity is a form of enjoyment as well, the contamination, right? So that's why we say these questions where, oh no, it's just of interest. It's a material contamination because you want to be able to take the knowledge, apply it, and use it in Krishna service, right? Is that you know? Can you imagine that you know someone comes in, you know, asks Mother Jashoda, oh, how did you cook that preparation the other day? You know, when you cooked in that lunch and all that, and she explains it. And that, so oh, so now you're going to cook it for Krishna and all that, you know, or like that, or you want to come and help me cook it for Krishna? No, I just wanted to know. You understand? Then it'll be material. Because spiritual means is you're trying to take it, and then how you're going to use that in service to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. Does that work as a definition? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, does that make sense? So that's the point. So the focus is not because it lacks desire for material enjoyment and liberation. So as that goes, we see it becomes more solid. And so, because there's more para added, its curiosity may not have those aspects, but it still is a contamination because it's just there's a material interest in you know knowing what's going on. But the point is it's considered different because the focus is not on material enjoyment separate from the Lord. This is material. You're interested in the Lord, but you don't know the Lord spiritual. So for you, it's just another material subject matter, right? And so, but it's in connection with the Lord. That makes the difference between the chaya and the pratibimba. Well, the pratibimba, it's you're interested in material, and it's just something that happens. It's interesting. Does that make sense? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.